Right, let's get into talking about some of the other big stories in town, including the explosion on offense that is Atlanta United. We welcome into the program on the WayForward.com hotline the play-by-play voice of Atlanta United, our buddy Mike Conte.
Morning, Mike Conte.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Sound like you were a little excited this weekend calling the game. You starting to get warmed up to it a little bit, aren't you?
You know me, Hugh. I'm easy to get excited. You throw a jar of peanut butter or a pizza in front of my face, and I'm going to get excited. So when Atlanta United starts scoring goals, that adds to it. I'm having a lot of fun with it. Really grateful for the opportunity. But these last two matches have been a lot of fun.
So is it safe to say now, Mike Conte, with the way that they're playing and the way that they're scoring, is that first game against the Houston Dynamo was somewhat of a fluke?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it was a fluke. You got to give fair play to Houston. They obviously they dominated that match. And Atlanta United, to me, that first match, that looked like two different teams. One had played a bunch of preseason matches and scored a lot of goals. The other did not play a lot of preseason matches and did not score a lot of goals in the preseason. And that was the difference between Houston Dynamo and Atlanta United. I'm not saying Atlanta United wasn't prepared for that first match, but they made a lot of first match mistakes, a lot of turnovers in the defensive third. As we had talked about, you know, they kind of found out at the last minute that Barco wasn't going to be able to play. They kept Parkhurst out of the starting 11. So it was just kind of a scramble and survive mode for Atlanta United and Houston. I think the last 2 weeks with the 3-5-2, we're seeing a little bit better of a picture of what Atlanta United is going to be in its final form. But I wrote a column for 92.9thegame.com that's going to go up later this morning. The most exciting thing for me, guys, is they've scored 7 goals in 2 matches. They lead the league or co-lead the league in goals, and Barco hasn't even played yet. So imagine when they finally get him into the fold, and that could be as soon as 2 weeks from now in Minnesota.
Right. That's, the enticing thing about this club is that they could be even more of an offensive juggernaut than they are now, an offensive juggernaut that has allowed Joseph Martinez to have 4 hat tricks, Mike Conte, in 23 games played. And the MLS record for the 20-plus years the league has been around is 5. He's done it in 23 games.
Yeah, I mean, Jason and I were talking about that on the full-time report Saturday night. It's almost unbelievable, isn't it, that he could have that many hat tricks in so few matches? Because remember, he had injury problems last year, and he was on his way to winning Golden Boot, and then he got hurt, and he had to miss a bunch of time, and that probably prevented him from getting the Golden Boot, the goal-scoring title in MLS. But, I mean, to have 4 hat tricks, I think it's a testament to him, but it's also a testament to his teammates. I mean, that hat trick goal that he scored at the end on Saturday night, and that was a beautiful ball put in there by Andrew Carlton, a 17-year-old from Powder Springs. The breakaway goal, yes, he was dropped at the center stripe, but Almiron put a nice ball ahead for him that he could get to in stride. So Martinez has got to finish these. I mean, no doubt about it. We saw that with his penalty kick. I mean, he's a great finisher. But he's got to get the service from his teammates. And he got that last week, obviously, when he scored against DC United. And he got it 3 times this week when he probably could have had a 4th. I mean, Aaron Mond of Vancouver put that one in himself, or we could have been talking about an extremely rare 4-goal game. But Joseph Martinez now leads the league in goals scored. Almiron leads the league in shots taken. So, you know, the statistical evidence is there that Atlanta United is playing the attacking soccer that Tata Martino wants them to play.
You know, one question about Almiron. You mentioned he leads the league, and Miggy does, with 21 shots taken. Boy, he has missed. It's almost as though, Mike Conte, he'll score goals when he's got 2 guys draped over him or from an improbable angle. But if he's right in front of the goal all alone, he's going to miss.
Well, I mean, boy, there was a 3-on-1 break in the first half on Saturday with Bajalba, Almiron, and Martinez. 9 times out of 10, if you get those 3 guys on a 3-on-1 break, they're going to score. And they just couldn't finish. And Almiron had a couple, I'm sure he'd like to have them back. I mean, poor touches that led to the blown finishes. But the bottom line is this. If he's taking 21 shots, I think the number is pretty crazy. He's taken 21 shots, but I want to say like a half dozen or less are actually on target. I still like the fact that he's shooting his shot, to use a Hugh Douglas term, because at least it's holding the defense accountable. It's giving the keeper some work. You never know, you could get a deflection that could set up a corner kick. So, I like the fact that he's at least making attempts on goal.
Mike, I don't know how far you looked ahead, but Minnesota United, they got Minnesota United coming up on the 31st, so they got a little bit of time off. What have you seen so far, if I'm not projecting too far out from them in that matchup against them?
No, you aren't. It's actually going to be a pretty big game because Minnesota United has also won twice, and they have to be feeling pretty good about themselves. Now, you have to take into account the two sides that they've beaten, Chicago Fire and Orlando City, two sides that aren't very good right now. Minnesota is going to play this week. There's a FIFA break in MLS this week. Only half the teams are playing. Atlanta United obviously is not. Minnesota United is. But you're going to be playing a night game outdoors on March 31st up there in Minneapolis, where the weather, you have to think it's at least going to be cold, if not snowing, or some kind of factor. That's going to be a very tough match. And I think it's going to be a good barometer match for Atlanta United to see, okay, how far have they come since Houston? Because they're clearly a much better side at home, right? When you can put those 45,000 or 72,000 fans behind them and they can kind of ride that wave of sound. It's a lot different in MLS when you go on the road. When you go on the road, you're just trying to survive and extract a point and get a draw. Now, obviously, Atlanta United scored 6 goals up there last year, but I think the Loons are a lot better than they were when Atlanta United saw them last year.
I'm actually correcting our schedule because I looked and you said it's a night game up there. I thought, it's an afternoon game, and that's right. They moved it from April 1st to March 31st. You know what time?
Right. It was going to be Easter Sunday, and from what I understand, I think they were a little worried about ticket sales. So Atlanta United, Minnesota United mutually agreed to move it to the night before Easter.
All right. So do you know what time that kick is? I'm updating our.
it will be 8:30 Atlanta time, 7:30 in Minneapolis.
I'm going to put that on our notes here. 8:30 kickoff. Eastern time. Mike Conney joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline as we talk about Atlanta United. Now, this week, the big news for Atlanta United is going to be the debut game for Atlanta United 2. For lack of a better term,
right,
this is their AAA team. They're going to be playing at Colray Field in Gwinnett County. Their first game comes up Saturday night against New York Red Bulls 2. Tickets are available at Ticketmaster. I think they're $15 to get into the game, but they're expecting huge crowds for this game. To see Atlanta United 2's debut game, and that means a chance to see, some of those youngsters, like maybe an Andrew Carlton, play a full game.
Well, Carlton won't be there because he's going to Europe with he's in Europe now. He flew last night. He's in Europe with the U.S. under-20 national team, as is Chris Goslin, which would be another guy that you might have planned on seeing this week. But he's going to be in Europe. You're still almost certainly going to see Lagos Kunga. Oliver Shannon will probably be there. I don't know what John Gallagher's injury situation is, but I mean, you're going to see maybe Miles Robinson. You're going to see a lot of guys. It's a little bit different than the AAA Major League comparison because, in AAA, you might have one guy who's on the cusp of getting up to the Braves and you want to see him. I think with Atlanta United, too, you're going to see multiple players who are kind of on that edge of getting into the 18 with the first team. So that's going to be very exciting. In the column that I wrote for 92.9thegame.com this morning, which hopefully will be posted later this morning, I talked about how I think the plan now, John, for Carlton has to change. If you would have asked me a couple weeks ago, when they were playing down in Charleston, that Challenge Cup, I would have thought Carlton would be the number 10 for Atlanta United 2. He'd play a lot of 90-minute matches there. And they would try to get him seasoning in USL. I think it's gotten to the point now. We clearly saw it on Saturday with the beautiful assist he had to set up the hat trick to Martinez, that Carlton is going to be a consistent in the 18 player for the first team every week. So now it becomes a little bit hard to balance. Do you want to get him 90-minute matches at USL, or do you want to keep him up with the first team? Where is he going to get better? What is he going to benefit from? And that's a real dilemma for Atlanta United. But right now, I would think, just based on the way we've seen him deployed the last 2 weeks, that he is going to be up with the first team.
Talking soccer with Mike Conney here, I tend to agree with you. I think it's probably going to be a little bit of both. They're going to have to get him some 90-minute matches. If they get into some matches where you know, you get into a stretch where they leave him, you know, they can't bring him into games. They're, you know, not that he's not ready to contribute, but, you know, that they don't want to break the lineup and it's 3-4 games in a row that he doesn't get to see the field. And then I think you have to kind of, you know, make a point of getting him some playing time at ATL UTD too. So we'll see at United too. Mike, as we talk about this, we go forward here. You know, the Houston game, we said we could scratch it off the books if they come out against DC United in Vancouver and get 4 points. They don't get 4, they get 6. They don't get just 3 goals, they get 7, and yeah. And show that you could kind of, you know, throw that one out the, you know, just throw it out the window and, okay, let's move on from here.
Yeah, I mean, it's all working. I think that's what I'm really encouraged by, is everything seems to be clicking. I mean, yeah, there were a couple floppy plays in front of goal on Saturday, really in the attacking third and the defensive third. And you know, as well as Carlton played to set up that goal for Martinez, he did have a giveaway that created the Vancouver goal and ruined the clean sheet. So, I mean, those are little things you want to clean up. We talked, obviously, about the 3-on-1 in the first half that they blew and they couldn't score upon. But for the most part, it's working. You know, moving Larenowicz up into the midfield has helped. Darlington Nagbe, I think now we clearly see the effect that he has here, because he was the most accurate passer in MLS last year, and Atlanta United passed at 93% on Saturday. Now, Vancouver doesn't like possessing the ball a lot, so it might be somewhat misleading based on the opponent. But I don't care if you're playing against a side that's down three men being red carded. To pass at 93% when you've had 650 passes is crazy. So Nagbe has been a really, really good link there to help that along. Almiron passed very well. Julian Gressel had a very good match, and he controlled the ball nicely down the right wing.
Yes, he did.
Set up the own goal that was put in by Mon.
Right.
So it's all working right now. It didn't work that way in Houston, but the last two matches, it has been working.
Yeah, just to that point, I didn't mean to step in here, but I just want to get in before we run out of time. Mike Conti, play-by-play voice of Atlanta United. I need to see a little bit more consistency out of Gressel. I agree with you. You know, rookie of the year last year, I still have high hopes that he's going to be a star in this league, but I need him to be that guy all the time and not disappear like he does sometimes.
Totally agree, but I think he's had two really good matches in a row, hasn't he? So, I mean, this is a good step forward for him. It's going to be hard. You know, you don't pay a $15 million transfer fee to put Barco on the bench. So Barco's going to be a starter when he's healthy and ready. Who comes out of the 11? And is it Gressel?
Is it Gressel, right?
I mean, or is it Fajalba? I mean, that would be awfully hard to do. But, I mean, it's a good problem to have. You have a lot of depth and embarrassment of riches up there. But, you know, it's going to be a very, very difficult decision for Tana to make in a couple weeks. Now, they're saying that Barco could possibly be back in time for that Minnesota match. So we might know the decision sooner rather than later.
All right, we'll talk to you about that as we continue. Thanks, Mike. Do appreciate your taking a few minutes.
You're the man, Mike.
All right, guys. Take
care. All right, that is Mike Conti, play-by-play voice of Atlanta United against Atlanta United 2. Opens its first ever game, Cool-Ray Field, Saturday night. According to Ticketmaster, there are tickets available, which sort of surprises me a little bit because I expect that game will be sold out.